Hey world, welcome to the IND499B Dueling Norms podcast. You're here today with your host, future Dr. Daquan Nichols, as well as my two other beautiful, amazing independent scholars colleagues.
I'm Connor Kreitzman. I'm also an independent scholars major, and I focus on music production, composition, and cultures.
Hey everybody, I'm Morgan Rudy, and I am also an independent scholar. I'm studying environmental social governance communications.
And I'm Daquan Nichols, and my focus is the neurobiology of trauma. A little bit of background about ourselves and each one of our majors. So mine is focused on both the psychological and socialization of trauma itself and how it affects our everyday life.
With my major, I had a desire to explore different fields regarding like sound and audio, including music and film scores and foley.
And for mine, I've always been really interested in communications, public relations. It's my family's business, actually. My mom started a PR strategic communications firm when I was a baby. And I've always been really fascinated by corporate social responsibility and the role that brands and especially companies play in making a positive impact on communities and sort of finding their voices and standing up for causes that matter. So fascinated by social issues, social engagement, and has really sort of driven my independent scholars experience and especially my semester-long project. So I guess we'll all talk a little bit about our individual projects this semester, and then we'll kind of get into how they tie together because it's been an awesome semester.
Yeah, so basically for our class, which is IND 499B, we all had our own individual projects, and mine was doing a performance where I sung songs regarding like a similar theme with like beauty norms and gender norms and different struggles people have with their bodies.
It was awesome. And so mine goes along with Connor's really well, and we knew that kind of from the start because so I have had a focus on, like I said, social issues and sort of different causes like environmental issues and studies. And so I, this semester, wanted to bring wellness into that and the idea of community well-being, and have been really, really fascinated by that because I actually had a lot of chronic health problems this past year, and it's really sort of inspired me on my healing journey, and I felt like it could be something that could really help other people. And I also feel like is a really important part of corporate social responsibility and everything I'm studying. So all that saying, I decided to do a project that I called Questioning Quotidian. And quotidian is not a word that I had ever heard before this class. Dr. Chamberlain mentioned it, and I literally had to Google it. And so that, you know, that kind of happens a lot because Dr. Chamberlain is always kind of operating on like a higher level than everybody else, just intellectually, which is awesome. And so it really opened up my perspective to this idea of our habits, our routines, our day-to-day. What does that look like? What does mine look like? How does it differ from the people around me? Sparked a lot of really interesting conversations with my friends and even some people that I don't know that well. And I decided to start making my own day in the life videos. So I have been recording pretty much every day, everything I do, just to look back and remember the moments day to day, so that the semester didn't blur together as much as it usually does. And it was awesome, and it led to me going along with Connor to that conference, and I recorded the whole conference, the whole trip and journey start to finish, and we did some awesome, really in-depth interviews about Connor's topics, and we talked a lot about how they relate to mine. And now I'm piecing together this documentary all about Connor's music and about the norms that he is working to challenge in his work. And mine has been very similar, and really just kind of looking at the idea of health and wellness and self-care. I think everyone has a different definition of what norms look like and what they mean to you, but I'll pass it over to you, Daquan, since your project also really deals with this a lot.
Definitely. So my project is focused on interviewing Roanoke City teachers and Roanoke County teachers from K through 12 and seeing how students develop and the differences between the city and the county and when certain characteristics begin to arise, such as aggression, dropout rates, skipping school, and everything of that nature, and pretty much seeing how socialization affects how each and every individual develops. And I think the beautiful thing about all of our projects and all of our majors is that in my eyes, they all describe the three senses of self, where Morgan is focused on how one individual sees themselves within the world, whereas Connors is focused on how society sees that individual, and mine's focus is really focused on what's normal about how the individual sees themselves within the society, not just the individual at themselves. So our first topic that we're talking about is norms. Oxford Dictionary defines norms as something that is usual, typical, or standard. And each of us have a different take on that and what it really means for us. And for me, I feel as if norms are very relative. Thus, for each one of our majors, it's going to be a very different concept. Since my major is focused on how society affects the individual, then I would say that norms are societal. Norms are something that is implemented from different societies and really mean nothing to the individual themselves, but it means a whole lot to the society as a whole. Therefore, you'll never find a normal individual within the society, but you'll always find a normal society within a nation or a group.
Yeah, and I would say like my project maybe focuses more like by like looking within yourself. I really like to encourage people with my music to like think about why maybe they think it's terrible that they've gained 10 pounds, or think about why people expect them to act or do certain things because of how they present themselves and how they look.
Definitely. And for me, I think about that piece of, you know, what is normal, who is normal that Daquan was talking about. And I remember this time last semester, last year, when I was sort of in the thick of being really, really sick. And you know, it was the first time in my life where I really felt like I couldn't do the things that I wanted to do. And I was missing out. And I just really wasn't able to participate and experience life to its fullest. And at that time, I just so badly wanted for things to be normal. I wanted for things to feel normal. I wanted my day-to-day just to be chill and to go to classes and to hang out with my friends. And so being able to do that this semester and really being trying to be so present and appreciative of it, I feel like I have sort of set a new set of norms for myself, because I've been so focused on gratitude and on, you know, those days when I wake up and I don't want to go to class, or I don't want to work on my essay, or I don't want to come to the podcast meeting, or whatever the question might be, which that would never happen because we love our podcast meetings. But when that does happen, I find myself reminding myself that no, this is good. This is normal. This is what you should be doing, and you get to do this. I really feel like I've adopted this mantra, you get to, and I think that's awesome, and that's a norm that I have been trying to, I guess, inspire other people with, or a norm that I'm combating day to day that I hope other people will too. And I think that really goes along with yours, Connor.
Yeah, and I know at some point, like, in the semester, you kind of, like, were asking other people about, like, what their quotidian was, or what their, like, normal day was. And I guess, like, something I feel like we all realized through our projects, especially, like, with those interviews and your interviews also, Daquan, is that, like, what is normal is relative to, like, who you are, like, where you grew up, and what is expected of you, like, changes drastically on who you are.
Certainly. And as we talk about norms, I think one of the very important questions to ask that I'll pose to both of you is, do you believe norms are a bad thing or a good thing, or do you think it overall just equals out?
That's a really good question. You know, what first comes to mind when I think of, like, norms is maybe, like, stuff that really I think is harmful. Because, for example, like, an idea of what, like, a man is, and when, like, men are not like that idea, like maybe they don't like certain activities like sports or something, and they might like something that's like more expected of like a woman to like, it can like really damage them, and it can become like kind of like a source of like self-hatred for some people, because they're like, why am I not the person that I'm supposed to be, in quotes, you know, when that all really comes from like these expectations that are based more on like how they present themselves than like what's really like true to themselves.
Definitely. And you know, the reason we decided to call this dueling norms, it has a dual meaning, we keep kind of joking, because I think that a lot of norms contradict themselves, and that's really confusing to navigate as a young person trying to develop your values, and as you're sort of meeting new people, especially in college, you're exposed to so many new people, new cultures, new ideas, and it's really hard to sift through those expectations and really figure out what matters to you and which of those are important to follow and important to value. And I think where that distinction lies is when norms are sort of superficial and they don't really have any depth to them, like what you were saying, Connor, when they're rooted in judgment. I mean, I think that kind of goes for anything, but especially for this, when expectations are rooted in judgment and that one person's path is superior to another's, that, you know, because Daquan is studying medicine, that his studies are more valuable than Connor's and Connor's studying music, when in reality there's a place for both, obviously, because, you know, we've all landed here in the same place, and, you know, that's just an example, but I think whenever judgment comes in, that's when things, I don't know, start to become really harmful, and you get into stereotypes and all kinds of other things,
and when there's like so many like arbitrary expectations, like like it's like, well, for a long time it's like we have like gendered colors like pink, know, and it was like weird. I remember like growing up, if a guy wore like pink clothing, which is just like really odd, like it's a color, you know.
So do you ever feel like norms are good? Like, do you ever feel like there's positive situations where norms are certainly beneficial to the world or society, or do you feel like it's overall just a negative thing that we should probably aim to get rid of? Like, for example, us being at JMU, there's just norm of friendliness and holding open doors.
That's like a good expectation.
That's a good norm. Or when we're all in, you know, this independent scholars class, it's a norm for us to have passions about our majors, you know. And sometimes the lack of norm leads to lack of understanding with other people. And I feel like that could be just as damaging as a horrible norm themselves. So do you feel like in a perfect world that we would have norms? Or do you feel like we would just alter the norm we have for a way that's more inclusive?
I that's such an interesting question. I think that when I think about that, I guess the first thing that comes to mind is, in a perfect world, everyone would just get to do their thing and be themselves. Like, that would be so awesome. I don't think that would ever actually happen. But I think that it's amazing that and within our generation that we even have the opportunity to have these kind of conversations and to kind of collaborate in this way. And I think about a lot of our conversations throughout the semester, like, obviously we arrived at this sort of common topic, norms, storytelling, social engagement, but I mean, day to day in class, we've talked about so many really important things. We've talked a lot about gender issues and LGBT community, and how where we grew up really shaped our view of those sort of issues and ideas. And we've talked about how your environment, especially in the context of Daquan's project, being in Roanoke, Virginia, and me being from the Richmond area, Connor being from the Northern Virginia area, that has provided some incredible insight to sort of what makes for good norms and expectations. What do the norms and expectations look like based on where you're from? I think that there's a difference between the norms that are good. I wish there was a word,
I'm kind of thinking about it, and like, I feel like what's normal, or like the norms of where you live, like, defines the culture. Like, everything that is normal, like, that is what separates maybe like one culture from another.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And like, also thinking about like good norms, more recently, it's been normalized kind of to talk more about mental health, I think is like an amazing thing. Like, a lot of things are becoming normalized that are like really helpful and makes the world like a healthier place. Like, there's, of course, like, as we spoke before, there's like terrible things being normalized. Like, I feel like shootings are like normalized on like campuses and high schools, middle schools, even elementary schools.
So at what point do you feel like a norm becomes a bad thing? Like, for example, if we talk to people in generations way before us, they would say, our gender norms, those aren't bad, you know? Mm-hmm. So at what point do you feel like norms become damaging?
Right. I think what the first thing that's like come to my mind is like, right when it crosses a line where it's causing people to not like themselves,
yeah,
like certain
yeah.
people, I think that's what, because thinking about like the normalization of mental health and talking about that and being open about that, like that does not harm anyone. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make anybody look at themselves and go like, oh man, I'm not like this. Like I'm not who I should be. That's not like happening with the mental health normalization.
I completely agree. I think whenever sort of comparison and like we talked earlier about judgment, but judgment, comparison, feeling inferior to the people around you, feeling kind of unworthy of mm-hmm. whatever life has thrown at you, feeling a lack of purpose. It's when those negative feelings start to come in. I think any time that if a norm is limiting someone from getting to be who they are, be themselves. Whenever it starts to limit, whenever it starts to become divisive, that's where it really gets harmful. And
definitely,
that can
yeah,
happen.
I understand that. So some might argue that those same quote unquote fears or things that keep you from being yourself should be self motivating. For example, like let's talk about studying. If you go to graduate school or take like a chemistry class, there will be some class where everyone's failing. So if you're not studying, it's okay because everyone fails. But you also have those classes where you have those people who are like, everyone's getting like 90 or like everyone's at least getting like an 85, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So your fear of not being normal in studying will keep you up to pace. You know what I mean? Like in some situations, wouldn't it be good to not want to be outside if it's beneficial overall? Certainly not every situation. But in some situations, couldn't it be beneficial where some people, where there's a fear of being abnormal?
I think in that example, I don't think that the fear of being abnormal should be the thing that's like motivating that person. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think it should be like their own like want to succeed, or maybe like they have an interest in this and that's like why they should want to do it. I don't think it should come from a place of like, oh, everybody else is studying, I have to be like them. It should be like, everybody else is studying is doing really well, and I want to succeed at this, so I'm gonna do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think when you are afforded the opportunity to be yourself and to feel like you are accepted by the people around you and supported by your community or you know, whoever, when you're feeling good about life, you're able to fulfill your potential. And I like Connor said, I think when wanting to succeed and wanting to when wanting to succeed and wanting to be the best version of yourself is at the forefront, then those comparative norms and just kind of thinking about yourself in that judgmental context, that can step back, you know, you can move forward. And I think that when it stops becoming about the fear of not being like the other people around you, I feel like this is definitely all connected.
Mm-hmm. Get right to something. Yeah. Okay. I know another common theme that we found with all of our projects is storytelling. So can you guys pretty much tell us how the story of one's life pretty much dictates what they're going to do, their norm, or how they perceive themselves?
Mm-hmm. I can think about kind of in my songs, they all like tell a story about someone who's like maybe experienced trauma or had like this like own internal self conflict, and they kind of just like tell a story about how somebody reaches a point where they're struggling with maybe like just like different mental health issues.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. I think in with mine, I mean mental health and the whole idea of mental wellness is sort of completely tied in, and I think that my biggest takeaway in really evaluating the idea of storytelling this semester is that people deserve to be listened to and people deserve to feel like their stories matter. And I think that is something that we can all do as humans when we're engaging with other people by being just but just being a little more present and intentional with our habits, with our words, with our interactions. I think that's been really my biggest takeaway from studying the quotidian. And I think that being able to tell other people's stories, being afforded that opportunity, is such a privilege. And I've definitely had that thought sort of when putting together the documentary about Connor, or even putting together the videos of my own life, and knowing that there might be people out there watching these videos that I'm putting out, or whenever someone is stumbles across Connor's music, or they see Daquan presenting at a conference with his incredible research that is really advocating for people whose voices aren't often heard. I think that that is really the underlying tie that really brings us all together, is that we are all sort of activists in a way, and, you know, not in the, like, protest pitchfork kind of situation. It's more in just you can be an activist in the ways that you treat people, in the ways that you go about your life, and the way that you frame your mindset day to day, but also just generally. And I think that that's something that we've all really honed in on this semester, intentionality and just so much purpose, and when passion comes in, that's when things get awesome, and you can really make something that matters and make something that inspires people. And I think that's definitely been the case. So I feel like that's my take on the storytelling theme for sure. Stories matter.
Mm-hmm. So Daquan, how was storytelling, like, involved in your project?
Storytelling was heavily involved in my project because it focuses on when they first enter education at elementary school, and you see just at around what ages people start to fight more, and why it happens in one city and not the county when they're only a few minutes apart. You see at what age people start being members of gangs, which is very prevalent in city schools but not county schools. You see all these different things, and even though these people or these children are making individual decisions, they're really decisions that society is inflicting upon them. You know, when you're in a situation that you lack opportunity for support for education, or you lack opportunity for even food or a home, you have to do things like sell drugs or be part of a gang for safety for your family, for people that you love. So these people, these children, these teenagers are put in situations where they will be viewed as almost like a rebel or a criminal to most of the outside world. But to them and their family and the people they love, they're viewed as somebody who is positive.
Yeah, like taking care of them and looking out for them.
So I guess one of the last two questions is almost like, I don't know. I'd be very interested to hear your answer. So it seems like what you guys have expressed today is that you should let people be themselves. Being yourself is a great thing, a beautiful thing. So I ask, in what situations is being yourself dangerous? Like, for example, if someone is, say you're in a room of five people, right? Mm-hmm. One's very racist, one's very sexist, the other one's very homophobic, one is very inclusive, open-minded, mm-hmm. and the other one just wants to be away from everybody. Mm-hmm. These people are all very different, and we could all accept, you know, being, you know, how you are is a beautiful thing and everything like that, but at what point is being too different a problem?
I think at that point, I really think, like, when I think about that, I guess, you know, this has been a really big topic here at JMU this semester, but when something crosses the line, like, it doesn't have to be hate speech to be hateful speech. And mm-hmm. and I think that I saw that somewhere, and when talking about the context of everything that has happened on our campus in relation to transgender rights and LGBT support, and so I think that, like, that's kind of where that comes in. And I think that there are times when it's not being yourself, it's being a jerk, it's mm-hmm. being a bad person, it's being, you know what I mean,
I think maybe a good way of, like, putting a pretty clear line is right when what you are doing or what you believe or whatever restricts other people from being themselves.
Right.
Like, you should be yourself. And if you're not, like, if you being yourself is not hurting people or restricting them, like, their freedoms or...
Certainly.
Yeah.
Certainly. I know, of course, this is not something I believe, but I've seen on social media sometimes where they'll bring up say a very important figure who's spewing almost like a hate speech, but people, you know, in the comments are posting saying, well, it's my freedom, it's my right to be able to say whatever I want, you know. So they will, some people will often argue that if you're limiting how people can express themselves, even towards other people, that's just a bad, quote-unquote, letting other people express themselves, you see what I'm trying to say, which is a very, I get the logic behind the topic, but from a moral standpoint, I see where that's completely flawed, if you get what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, because it's like, you know, everybody can say whatever they want, but that does not mean that people have to respond to it positively. And I think there's certain people who are, like, so hateful. It just comes to a point where it's like, you can say whatever you want, but nobody should listen to this person. And we shouldn't, and we should, when people, like, kind of push these, like, hateful voices to the forefront, we should say, like, hey, you should not do that. And this is why it's hurting these people.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And even if it's not, like, a direct violation or directly racist or I guess whatever the case may be, it's still like, my question is why? Like, why does it matter to you? And I completely agree, Connor, that it's like whenever, when, if you being yourself is impacting somebody else's ability to live and experience life to the fullest, then you should stop. You should reevaluate. And I think that at the end of the day, it's just why? Like, you, I think that, you know, people in those instances, who fall into those hateful categories, it baffles me, because why can't people mind their business? Why can't we just let people be, let people thrive, let people live and be happy. I guess that's kind of my
have maybe one or two more questions. I know I said that last time, but it always sparks my interest. So it seems like, with what you guys are saying, it seems to be like a fairly clear line between right and wrong. And
I would not say that for
you
me.
You wouldn't say that?
Yeah, okay. I would say, because it can get like really complicated. Certainly. Well, yeah, I'll just say that it's a gray area.
It's a gray area.
For sure, right
and
wrong.
It's just like, one of the first examples I could think of is in a sociology class last year, I was learning about how there's like this, it's a certain community, and it would be like 30-year-old men will get married to like 12, 13-year-old girls. It's normally, it happens. And we could assume or push our American ideology on pedophilia towards anybody and be like, hey, what you're doing is wrong. But in society, they feel like it's okay. You know, so at what point do we sit and say, you know, this is okay and this is not, this is moral and this is not moral? And where do you feel like you get those ideologies or those morals or those right and wrong principles from? Like, what society? Because as you said before, you can have a racist growing up, and he feels like, oh, being racist is okay because this, 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 and this, and this. And then you can have somebody who's very inclusive growing up, and then be in a situation where they're including people who are doing morally bad things. So at what point do you feel as if things can be deemed as hurtful and not hurtful, or harmful and not harmful to others? I guess that's a better way to say it. Things are harmful or it's not harmful. So at what point is it, you know, one or the other?
That is definitely where I think, bringing it full circle, where norms come back in, and like those positive norms that we were talking about, the expectation that you are someone who is contributing in a way that is not negatively impacting other people, to the world. But I think too, that question makes me think about how in the world, like assuming or knowing that, if in the context of the entire world, of all 8 billion of us, that we obviously can't control everything or everyone, and there's so much out there that we don't know about, that that is just completely unknown, to us, at least. And I think that that's where, you know, I liked how you mentioned the expectation at JMU, the norm at JMU, is that you wave at people, you hold doors. Dukes hold doors is their whole phrase. I think that because you can't control or influence everyone and the world, because the world is not a perfect place, that it's so important that we, as humans and as people who can control little things around us, that, you know, even if we can't change the whole world, we can create those spaces within our world that allow people to be themselves and to be comfortable and to experience life at its full potential, if that makes sense. I guess kind of thinking about if you can't change the world, you can change things about the world around you, and you can choose how you interact with the world around you, and you can, what you really can do is seek out and choose to be a part of communities that have these positive norms that we've been talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I think that that's really the key, is scaling your expectations of society's expectations and scaling your expectations of what you as an individual can do.
Certainly. So to wrap this all up, what's the next steps in terms of social engagement, or in terms of, you know, your projects or what you hope to see in the world? And any closing remarks you'd like to make?
I think the last thing I would like to say is something that I've said before, is like, I just encourage people to question why things are the way they are, and why maybe certain things are expected of you, and why certain people are in certain positions, everybody to be really nice to each other. We don't know about everybody's struggles and stuff.
And I completely agree. I think my number one takeaway from this year, but especially from our conversations in class this semester, is that you just never know what people are going through, and you never know what people have experienced prior to this moment. I mean, we're all, 21, 22, and it's like, we're bringing in 2 decades worth of life and experiences and stories and challenges and hurdles, and they're all different, and they all contribute to where we are now. And it's so important to keep that in mind always. I think that if you want to be a positively engaged citizen, you have to be empathetic at the end of the day, and yet you just have to think about other people. So important. And I think that this semester and our conversations, my Quotidian project, Connor's music, Daquan's incredible work in Roanoke, all the questions we've been asking and seeking to answer, I think, will just kind of continue. I mean, I don't know that there's any like big next steps, at least least not yet, but I do think that I know for sure that this has prompted a lot of self-reflection, and it has really shaped sort of my perspective and my conversations with people around me. I really love to share about you guys and the stuff that we're doing in Independent Scholars with other people, and I think other people find it fascinating and inspiring, and so I think that that's really it. I think sharing, connecting, and continuing to question.
My next step for me personally, it may not be a social engagement, more of a personal standpoint, as I take on the journey of being a medical student and a father, you know, trying to find out how to balance norms and fatherhood and balance norms within my own household. So maybe my social engagement won't be quite the same as yours, but I'll definitely be engaged in other ways. And I guess that's it for our podcast today. Say goodbye to my lovely host, and we'll be back next year with a whole new cast and a whole new story.
Thanks for tuning in. And real quick, I know we want to give a big shout out to Dr. Phil Frana and Dr. Matthew Chamberlain at James Madison University, our amazing advisors for Independent Scholars 499B. I know you guys, if anybody's listening to this that wasn't in our class, might be wondering if this was like a group project or something, but there actually were only the 3 of us in this class, and it was such an intimate and personal experience, really kind of going through all of these amazing projects and questions that Dr. Frana and Dr. Chamberlain sort of entrusted us with throughout this semester, but we're really, really grateful for them and for the opportunity to talk about this and to try to make a difference in our studies. So thank you, and goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
My bad.
You're probably awake. Oh, jeez. You should have told me.
Tell us.
Yours,
cause
it, I was like, ah, damn. You was on the road.
Gosh. That's so funny.